Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This after Ramadan, with Allah's grace, with Allah's mercy, this is the first night of Jummah we are getting after Ramadan. And it is an excellent month that we are in. Very valuable month this is. Rather, if we look in sequence, then this started from Rajab 3 months ago. Rajab was the month in which the Holy Prophet ﷺ encouraged us that be cautious, and he did dua. He did a prayer. Alongside that, he said that be careful the way you spend the month. Why? Because after Rajab, a greater month is to come than that. If you have a good Rajab, then you will attain that month as well in a good way. So the Holy Prophet ﷺ from Rajab alerted everybody 3 months ago. Alhamdulillah, after Rajab, with the same way, with the same respect and adab, we spent it. Then Allah gave us the next month after Rajab, which was Shaban, before Ramadan, Shaban. So Rajab, it prepared everybody for Shaban. The same way whoever prepared mentally properly during Shaban, then he attained that month of Shaban. There's a lot of virtues in Shaban. There was even a night in Shaban, an excellent, beautiful night that Allah gave to us. But then the work did not finish. Rather, the preparation that we did during Shaban, Allah gave us the encouragement to prepare, because a greater month was to come, and that was the month of Ramadan. So from Rajab, we were prepared for Shaban, and during Shaban, we were prepared for Ramadan. And then during Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, what great barakat and blessings and nights and days Allah gave to us. But you need to understand, we need to understand, that just like Rajab prepared us for Shaban the month after, and Shaban prepared us for Ramadan, then now the sequence has not ended. In reality, even Ramadan is a month of preparation. Even Ramadan, because there's even greater days to come after Ramadan. A great fard, compulsory ibadah is to come, which is Hajj, which is soon coming. And that was 30 days, Ramadan. But for Hajj, which is a great ibadah, what a massive ibadah, that Allah has started from this month, Shawwal, the holy months. Shawwal is included as a month of Hajj. After this is Zulqada, and then Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days. All of these days from now, the next month, and the 10 days are holy and sacred. So Hajj, this is what a person needs to attain, the Ayyamul Hajj, the days of Hajj. The ibadah, worship for the days of Hajj is so great that there's Fard Hajj on every individual who has the capability, who has the money, who has health. And when the days of Hajj come for him, then he cannot stop at all. He must go for the Hajj. And a woman, she needs to have the mahram, the guide. And if the person is present, then there's no excuse that should stop her or that person from the Hajj, that one fard Hajj during the lifetime. So we sometimes, we do Umrah, we do Nafal Ibadah, but no. Hajj, there's nothing greater than that. If you see this, how much preparation Allah Ta'ala has given for Hajj, how many rewards there will be, what blessings. You will go to Arafat, you will go to Mount Safa, Mount Marwa, sometimes Madinatul Manawwara, every moment during the Hajj time. So don't delay, because there's very severe warnings that have come, that this is now the climate for Hajj. If the months of Hajj have come, the person who doesn't go to Hajj, then for him, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whether he dies a Yahud or Nasara, I am not responsible or connected to that person. This is a big warning. So it's a great statement that starts, and this is a fact. Hajj starts from Shawwal, which is this month. The next thing, alhamdulillah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has, for the preparation for this ibadah, for this worship that Allah has given to us. And in reality, this is the essence, the summary of Ramadan. This is the summary of Ramadan. Such a great ibadah that Allah made us practice during Ramadan. So it's not that after Ramadan, everything's finished. Rather, the real work starts after Ramadan. Yes? Allah has just reminded us during Ramadan that this is the greatest time, the biggest action. Rather, you can consider it's the biggest ibadah. And it came at that time that we weren't even in the world at that time. Before the dunya, first and foremost, before we arrived to the world, Allah Ta'ala gave us the ibadah, and that was what was going to be most beneficial for us. Without that, no person can go into Jannah, paradise. Remember this, such a big ibadah that Allah Ta'ala made us practice in Ramadan. And what was that? That every day, morning, evening, night time, every moment, Allah said that Allah mentioned this in Ramadan with regards to this ibadah. And what is that ibadah, that worship? That ibadah was when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when he was told to the angels that I am, when Allah said to the angels that I'm going to create a form of creation which will be a khalifa of mine in the world, and I will send them to the world, Allah said. So the angels, before going into the world, Allah Ta'ala mentioned this action. Allah Ta'ala had created that action. That is the biggest focus and part of our life that we were made to practice during Ramadan. It's the essence of Ramadan. Why? Because at that time, the creation, the angels, it was just the angels. And the special quality of the angels is that they obey Allah, their creator. They didn't even have an idea of what is disobedience. So Allah said, I'm creating now another form of creation that inside them I'll give them the ability that they can reject, that my order, they will delay. And such a creation I'm going to make now. And I'll put into them that capacity, that ability. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, when he was created, then with this Allah Ta'ala said, that this quality Allah put into the human being. So for tarbiyah, for development, was we were to be developed and conditioned. So Allah Ta'ala showed this event. And that was that Adam alayhi salam, he wasn't told to pray salah, he wasn't told to do hajj, he had no order, no nothing, no ibadah, no worship. Just one order Allah gave to him, that don't do this action, don't go near to this tree, this plant. That's it. First, the biggest ibadah, that is, the biggest worship, was the order of Allah. Do you understand the point I'm making? The order. So for us in the world, the biggest action for us, the biggest ibadah worship for all of us, is that Allah's orders, don't disobey Allah's orders. Remember this point. Yes, all other worship comes after prayer and worship actions. The first worship that Allah gave to Adam alayhi salam Allah Ta'ala, when He sent Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, Allah Ta'ala, before from the beginning Allah gave this worship, this action, that this will, Allah knew that in the destiny what would happen after that. So Allah said, don't go near to this tree. In other words, that if you do, then after that you will come down to earth and there will be results and consequences. So Allah Ta'ala told us before the earth was made that the biggest ibadah for us will, my orders will come to the people. My orders will come, my instructions, and do not disobey my orders. So Allah says you must obey my orders. And alongside that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created shaitan, the devil. Shaitan also came into the game. Allah said shaitan will come. How? Allah ta'ala also demonstrated that before earth, that Adam alayhi salam was in paradise, and time was passing, and he used to live in paradise with Hawa. Then, with Allah's permission, otherwise, how can shaitan dare? Because Allah wanted to demonstrate this as an example for our learning as human beings on earth. So Allah showed this example before. So He influenced Adam alayhi salam. And just like He had was going to do here with us, so He started His work there. Do you understand? In advance. So it's just an example. In other words, the work shaitan wanted to do us here, ultimately, he did that there in paradise. So he went to Adam alayhi salam and he made him slip up, you could say. Yes, so same thing happens with us. What does shaitan do? He makes us slip up, fall down, trip up. It's the same story being applied. So when Allah's order comes to us, that don't do this. Don't do this is the biggest worship. More bigger worship is not doing an action, when Allah says, than doing. If you want to please Allah, go more towards the prohibitions. This is the essence of Ramadan that I'm sharing with you. Yes, after graduating from Ramadan, the story doesn't end. Ramadan was just a training. It was a practice because we'd forgotten our lesson of life. So Allah reminded us, Allah said, the actions of prohibition, leaving action, are greater than the actions of doing worship. So if we're disobeying Allah all our life and we're just worshipping at the same time, praying, no benefit. No benefit. So Allah gave us the example, just like with Adam alayhi salam, shaitan came, totally he'll do the same with you whilst you're living on earth. What did he do to Adam alayhi salam? Shaitan, he came. And he made friendship with Adam alayhi salam. He said, this is shaitan. He said, go to that tree. And Adam alayhi salam said, no. And shaitan said, why? He said, Allah said, don't do this. Adam alayhi salam said, he said, it's okay. That's an old story. Listen to this here, how shaitan plays his tricks. He said, Allah's order is very old. A long time has passed. That was just wisdom, Allah's hikmah. He told you that time. It was that time your stomach wasn't strong. You had a weak digestive system. And you couldn't eat that plant. But now you've lived so long in Jannah, you're accustomed to it. So you can go to that tree. You can eat the fruit. And your life will increase. So whenever shaitan makes you commit a sin, remember this, whenever shaitan deviates someone and slip up to the human being, in the same style and method he uses the tricks. Oh, this is old news. That was from the Holy Prophet sometime 1400 years ago. You don't need to be that strict now. Lives change, worlds change. We're in the modern era. You have to run a business and it's allowed now. Those people then were backward. They didn't know the Quran wasn't printed then. We have to do this now. These are old backward ways. Even today, 99% Allah's orders, those people who break them, are due to the same reasons. We compare with who? We compare, oh, that was old time, Islam when it was revealed, they didn't live in the modern generation, it was hard then, etc. Even today, human being, he falls into the trap of shaitan's invitation. So Adam alayhi salam, he slipped up. So every man slips up like this now in the world. Remember this. Why? Because that he wasn't an angel. Allah Ta'ala created him. He was as Adam alayhi salam. And Allah wanted to show that example. So Allah gave tarbiyah first in Jannah, so that we could get that message in advance. So what happened then? He ate that plant or fruit. And after that, what happened? Because he had gone against what Allah had ordered, and shaitan had fulfilled his promise. Same thing happens with us. So whenever a human being disobeys Allah, then alongside that, there are effects of that. What happened with Hazrat Muhammad? So then his libas came off, his clothes came off, and his satr was made bare. This is what happens when a person disobeys Allah. Then his condition changes. Yes, Allah says that's what happens. You're laid bare when you disobey Allah. Yes, At that time, a person who sins, his shame, his haya, everything drops, his status, his level. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, mashallah, his level before that. So Allah Ta'ala is explaining is that everything is based on Allah's obedience, all success. Wherever Allah's order breaks, then the human being falls down the levels, drops. So this is what happened at that time. But Allah Ta'ala said, okay, nope. That I created also, and I want to also make the human beings people who, that for example, I says they are the angels. Whatever I say to them, the angels in sajda, they do tasbih, they worship, they pray, because in their ability, there's no way to sin. But I said I want a form of creation that is able to disobey Allah. Allah says I want that, the human beings, and then when they disobey, then they're cautious after that and they abstain. Allah says, this is what I want to see in the human being, this quality. Yes, that the enemy's present, shaitan, he deviates him, and he says no. The human being says no. But there are very few people who will shun shaitan, but they will slip up. They'll fall down, just like Hazrat Adam alayhi salam demonstrated the example. So Allah says, what do you do then? After that, if you make a mistake, if you slip up, just like as Adam alayhi salam slipped up, then he paid attention to Allah. He turned to Allah. Allah, what shall I do? Because I'm in Jannah. Then Allah Ta'ala said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What was this? Allah Ta'ala opened the door, the solution. Just like before your birth, Allah prepared the solution. What door was that? The door of tawbah, repentance. Allah opened up. That Allah opened the door, the solution of the world. Allah said, fine. Okay, if you make a mistake, and it does happen, we're human beings, mistakes made, you fall down, then two actions you must do. Yes, because shaitan, and one is your nafs. These are the two enemies that will always confront you every day. All life long, we must fight with our two enemies if you want to depart this world successfully. This is the essence of Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala shared with us and is reminding us. The biggest ibadah during Ramadan was this. To save yourself from the sins, to save yourself from disobedience. If by mistake you make an error, a sin, no problem. Allah says the door is open. The way out is open. What is that? Tawbah, repentance. Repentance. That's it. That's what we need to do. Allah says you do tawbah, repent, because you have two enemies with you. Shaitan, what does he do? The devil. And the nafs, your desires. They both have their own unique tricks. Shaitan makes you slip up, just like he made Adam alayhi salam slip up. And he pushes you towards sin. And he presents sin to you in a nice way. Just like Quran says, that shaitan decorates the sins and makes it look tasty and sweet and nice. And he makes you consume that. And your desires, nafs, it does another action. Yes? He makes you sin. Not shaitan. Shaitan presents the sin and influences you, and your nafs desires make you do the sin. So shaitan will decorate, present the sin in front of you, called waswasa. He'll whisper in your ears, he'll influence you, make you think, and then your nafs, your desires, it is worse and more wretched than shaitan. Your own desires. Yes? And he says, do it, it's okay, what difference does it make? And it never leaves you, the nafs, your desires. Your nafs will never leave you. Yes? And it will make you ultimately physically do the sin. So in that situation, then Allah says, if you have committed the sin, fair enough. But Allah says, then I give you a solution. I've opened the door for you. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you make in your life, you just need to do one thing after that. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what Ramadan taught us. No need to be scared. Don't run away. If 30 years you sin, 50 years you sin, 70 years you sin. But Ramadan was a month. Allah said, I didn't just open the door in Ramadan. That was just for you to practice the solution. For you to practice every second, every minute, every hour. It was one call from Allah. Do tawbah, do tawbah, do tawbah. Repent to me, repent to me. And Allah says your status was being elevated during Ramadan. Allah pulled you with rahmah and mercy and maghfirah. First 10 days was Allah's mercy. Second 10 days was Allah's forgiveness. And last 10 days, I said, totally you are free from hell and you've done tawbah. But there was no other ibadah, just tawbah during Ramadan. Practice of repentance, because the human being, his success in the hereafter will be made just from doing tawbah, from repenting. Remember this, no worship, prayer will save us. No ibadah, worship will give us success except for tawbah, repentance. Shaitan and nafs teach us, don't do tawbah. Don't sin, don't repent. You're doing sin. What's the point of repenting? Shaitan and your nafs will never let you do tawbah. This is the most dangerous attack of shaitan and nafs. To not let you go towards tawbah. Remember this. Tawbah is a massive action. Repenting. Somebody asked somebody else that, how does he sleep? Yes. That, do you know how to sleep? He said, yes, I know how to sleep. I'm a scholar. I know how to sleep. He said, tell me, teach me how I can sleep in Islam, how a person should sleep. He said, I sleep, I do wudu. He said, okay. He said, after doing wudu, I do all the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. I lie down and open my hands and read the du'as. I read this surah, then I wipe my hands over my body. He said, I do all these actions. He said, you don't even know the method of how to go to sleep. He said, you haven't even learned the method of foolish words. You don't even learn the tariqah method of sleeping. He was amazed, the scholar. He said, why is it I've missed out? Why I've not learnt? He said, you don't know the method. He said, what's the method? He said, foolish person, when you go to sleep, then first action you should do, these are all things are fine what you're doing, but you won't succeed with this. The first action you should do, that say, Allah, today all the sins I've committed, forgive my sins. That's the first thing to do when you go to sleep. Yes? Allah is so kareem at that time. Allah's rahmah mercy's door is open that maybe he'll die during his sleep. So there's practice. So at that time when you say from your mouth, Allah, I've done lots of crimes today. I'm a criminal. I've sinned. Allah, first please ask you for forgiveness. My Mawla, my Lord, please forgive me. Say that on your mattress before you sleep. Always, shaitan, what does he say to us? He takes us towards ibadah at that time, worship. The du'as and the surahs, he makes us do that. But the real action through which Allah's doors of mercy open, he doesn't want us to do that, shaitan. So how many people do tawbah and sleep? They read du'as, they'll read Quran, they'll do prayer, they'll do zikr. But the shaitan will wipe from that person's brain the memory that do tawbah now, repent. You'll say, no, you don't need to do tawbah now, it's too hard, don't do tawbah now. Allah has advised us, do tawbah for yourself, repent, and do this tawbah as well. That Allah, if I did wrong and oppressed somebody or injustice against one of your creation, Allah forgive me for that as well. Look what a great dua this is, eh? At the time of sleeping. So he thought, I know the verses, the surahs, he had a false confidence. But when he met a wali Allah who taught him, this is how to sleep. This was that point, it wasn't even the mind of that person. Oh, I'll read this verse, these du'as, I'll read Yasin. Good actions, alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with doing that. Yes, when did Allah say, don't pray salah, don't pray tahajjud, don't pray shirag, don't read Quran? Allah says, do these things, that's fine. Do these things, but what about your sins? How are you going to atone for them? Yes, what's the cure for the sins that you've committed? The crimes that you've committed? The solution? Who's going to atone for them? Because that's the real problem hanging over your neck. Allah says, you're disobedient. You haven't obeyed me. Okay, you can say that Allah, you gave me the ability to sin, I couldn't help it. Allah says, Adam alayhi salam, yes, he made a mistake, he did tawbah, so you should do tawbah as well. If your father, Adam alayhi salam, did tawbah, why don't you do tawbah then? Why don't you repent? Yes? So for this practice, Allah gave us the complete month of Ramadan to practice repenting. And the next month that are to come, Hajj. What is Hajj? The same practice completely during Ramadan. In Ramadan, Allah is reminding us about Tawbah. So Allah is saying that Allah has given us days now, the days of Hajj. What will you do in Arafat? Is there any worship in Arafat on the day of Hajj? Is there any Salah special? Tell me. No. In Arafat, all you need to do is that even minimum of 2 seconds you go into the plain of Arafat and sit down and say, Rabbana dhalamna anfusana, then your Hajj is complete. That is the compulsory action. And you will be given the title Hajj Mabrur, that is accepted. If you do nothing else, you go straight. Yeah, you get a plane ticket. This is the minimum. Helicopter, plane, and this Arafat then, the 9th day of Dhul Hajj, that Allah has selected. You helicopter, land there, sit there. Alhamdulillah. In Arafat, yes, and say, Allah, forgive me my sins. I've done too many sins. Allah, I raise my hands, Allah, forgive me. And if Allah forgives you, Hajj is done. That's the Hajj. That is Hajj. So Allah's hikmah, wisdom that in that plain, in the wilderness. Why is Allah calling us right out there outside? This is Allah's hikmah, wisdom. In this we can't challenge and debate. Our job is to obey Allah's order wherever He calls us. Doesn't matter where He calls us. Why is he called Aswad Arafat? Those people are stubborn. Hikmah, what's the hikmah of Arafat? Why should we go there? No. Any order Allah gives, you can't imagine the wisdom behind it. Yes? We don't even know why Allah selected that. Allah's given us this much brain that we can understand. Allah's orders come so we can believe it. That's why Allah gave us brains. Okay? So the most intellectual and brainy person in this world, Ulul Albab, Allah's mentioned in the Quran, are those people that after sinning, he understands I've committed a crime and let me ask Allah for forgiveness. He's the most brainy person in the world. The most intellectual person is that person. Brain power. He's understood his purpose of life. Yes, and the worst and foolish and stupid person in the world is he who hides his sins. Who hides his sins. And he spoils his hereafter. And he spoils his deeds. Yes, so what a beautiful lesson. Allah says, keep on worshipping and keep on asking me for forgiveness. Keep on asking me for forgiveness. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the greatest worship, salah. He taught us the greatest physical worship. And how did he end salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? With which action? With dua? No, with nothing. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. He said this after salah. Is this the case or no? We do this, don't we? Why do we say this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. Yes, every action the Prophet of Allah has taught us so we can go into paradise. He's taught us everything. And to go into paradise, the biggest asset is that the sins that you've done that are inside you, we'll have to do this. Yes, there's no way to be going. That the way to get the compensation for the sins we've committed, the cure, the solution for the sins, immediate. Don't be confident, it's okay, no problem, it's a small sin. Totally not at all. Immediately, Allah forgive me. Immediately. Yes, and the high stage of the human being, alhamdulillah, is that every second, every moment he's ready for tawbah, repenting to Allah constantly. The highest preparation for the hereafter is tawbah, repentance. The best preparation for the hereafter. Now, so this was Ramadan that made us practice. It doesn't mean that after Ramadan the doors are closed. Today is the night of Jummah. Even today, tonight is the same action as we did in Ramadan. Even now there are sinful people here. Rather, from today, the sins have shot up to the sky. From Eid, Shaitan has come back to us. Yes, and what he made of people do since yesterday. So, remember Ramadan made us practice what we need to do for the rest of the year. Allah reminded us that don't forget this, because after Ramadan, Shaitan will come back. I've made you practice. So after Ramadan, will you go out and into the world? Then keep practicing what you learnt in Ramadan. Sins will happen, tawbah. Sins, tawbah. Repent. And to remind us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered that the best method is this, is that you go and make a connection, a relationship with a pious person, a wali Allah. So you're not lazy in this action. That always remember, if you have a connection with a friend of Allah, a sheikh, then he's never lazy in doing tawbah, repenting. Yes, you can test yourself. Test yourself. Because you know, oh, my sheikh, my teacher is going to tell me off. Yes, what's that? He's going to tell me off, I have to fill the sheets in. And he's going to see the sheets after 40 days, I have to submit my sheets, my deeds. He's going to analyze. These are those people who, mashallah, shaitans grab them. But Allah Ta'ala has given us the solution so that we can get to paradise. That's, yes, but we inquire. We think we are brainy. We've got wisdom, intellect. My friends, when has Allah said to you, run your shops, businesses, work, go to the countries of the world, travel, enjoy your life, do what you want. No problem. No decision. That even if you make mistakes, follow the nafs, Allah says, no problem. But just do one action. Find a sheikh, a teacher, a pious person, and sit in his company. So at least you can be reminded regularly about the sins. That's all you need to do. Yes, that's what Ramadan taught us. What else did it teach us, Ramadan? Yes, you can experience for yourself. Otherwise, sins, a person, he doesn't even think about doing tawbah, repenting when he's on his own in the wilderness of the dunya. He doesn't even know. But as soon as you find good people, pious people, good company, then inside you, you get regret and remorse and shame for the old life, the sins. Experience that for yourself. Yeah, the first thing you will feel is remorse and regret. Yaar, I was dirty. Even though the teacher's not said nothing to you, but you'll feel that. And you'll get awareness of sins. Because the iman wakes up, because he's on that journey. When you get the company of the pious teacher, then you need a bit of courage and determination. Well, shaitan will come back to you. Oh, leave this company, leave this gathering. No, no, you're pious. Oh, you're too dirty, sinful. You can't be saved. You can't be spared. There's no need for you to come to the deen. But just keep quiet and keep on working. And if the sins come again, then come back to Tawbah. Then let him do his work, shaitan. But at least you're on the track. You're on the track, on the journey. Allah says, this student has taken all of the path that I prescribed to him. The find of high spirits. If you fall down, stand up. Fall down, stand up. Allah likes that when a person keeps standing up after tripping up. Why? Because Allah knows when he drops, he'll stand. When he drops, he'll stand. Eventually, just like that child when he was a kid and he kept dropping. Then he learned to walk. And then you see he's running, the child, after a year or two. And then, was he born today? No. My mother used to push me. I didn't know how to walk. I was struggling, but I never lost determination. I got up, sat down. Now I'm capable. I'm running around, playing. That's what a child does during the early years. So if you sin, stand up again. If you fall down, stand up again. Fall down with your shaykh. Fill in the sheets again. Submit your sheets again, your deeds again. Regret and remorse should be there constant. Allah Ta'ala likes most of all this action. Most of all Allah likes from the human being. If he makes a mistake, he has shame. Because Allah likes the shame in the believer, in the human being. A person who has regret. Allah likes that. Because Allah has created us, given us that development. Allah wants to see that my makhluk, my creation has some regret, some remorse. That's it. That's all Allah wants. But shaitan will work hard and attack us. This whole Ramadan Allah gave us. And then he'll make us forget to get one. Will he make us forget? He'll remind us to do everything. Pray namaz, salah, read Quran, worship. Because shaitan steers us towards worship. But he never tells us that don't do the sins. Never will shaitan advise us, don't do the sins. And if you sin, if you make a mistake, a crime, no problem. But keep on doing tawbah, keep on repenting. That's the lesson. Because the path of tawbah, repentance, take hold of that path of tawbah, repentance. The biggest and the best and the greatest path of tawbah that Allah has prescribed to us is what? Subhanallah. Is that find a teacher, a waliyullah, and attach yourself to the teacher. No companion sahabi would be a sahabi. Abu Bakr Sadiq would not be Abu Bakr Sadiq. Umar radiallahu anhu would not be Umar radiallahu anhu. And that condition of the dunya, that time and that direction the dunya was going. But 124,000 close to that sahaba were created, that until today after them no man in history can get near to their level. Why? Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them how to repent. How to do tawbah. He didn't teach him anything. He didn't teach him salah. Salah came after. Quran came after. Ibadah came after. Ishraq came after. Worship came after. Nothing. First lesson the Prophet taught the sahaba is regret, remorse. Yes, they used to worship idols, bury their children alive. They were people without brains. Be'akal. Remember this, that a person, there was no one worse than them on the face of the earth at that time, the sahaba, before they met the Prophet. I mean, this is the greatest fitna today. The person today who sins the most, who has no akal, we today think he is the best person. Oh, this is the biggest fitna in this day and age today. The most sinful person, it cannot be that a person who's sinning has got brain. Cannot be. A person, for example, will he drink the urine of a cow if he's intellectual? Can he? Yeah, can you do actions like this? Why? Because shaitan has injected their brains. Shaitan, the work he has done, is that Allah has given us such a punishment. That little, you know, when they start rejecting, they make the scorpion their king, they make the snake their god, they make the cow, the cattle, their god. From the things they make from their hands, they make god. They make the human being the god. Why? Because they've disobeyed without doing tawbah. But, when a person asks for forgiveness that Allah have made a mistake, then he is the most intellectual person, the one who repents. He is the most intellectual person, the one who repents. Inside him, always the iman is shining and glowing, the person who repents. Because we never think that a sinful person is akal, has got akal, Allah says. No. Don't look at modern progression in the world. That is not akal. Don't look at money and wealth and think that's akal. Why is it that you run after and love those things that are going to finish and end? Yes, for example, I'll put two glasses in front of you. And I say to you that this is a glass that will break and this is a glass that will stay strong forever. Which glass will you buy? That one that's unbreakable, that will last forever. Let's buy this for a few days, it will break. It will stay there. Whichever customer comes, he will pick up the glass that's unbreakable. That will last forever. Because akal tells you this. So Allah has given us two things. Dunya will end. It's for now. And Jannah is forevermore. Which one do you want to select? Which one do you want to select? So who's got the akal? The person who puts his hand on Jannah, paradise. And the foolish, stupid people are those who run after the dunya, the world. Grapple after the dunya. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand the point I'm making? Yes, oh, he's shining, glowing, dunya, stupid person. The dunya has been decorated so much that your life is short, the dunya will break. But Allah said that hereafter is never going to finish. Time and time again Allah is reminding us in the Quran. Time and time again Allah is mentioning in the Quran that dunya is a waste, it will finish the world. And the thing that will last forever, your house in the hereafter will last forever. Your wife in paradise will be forever. Your food in paradise will be forever. And forevermore you will be given such gifts, Allah said, that you cannot imagine. This dunya will end, finish. These are small things there. They will end. They will end. So why do you select the things of the dunya over the hereafter? Allah says. This is a message, isn't it? Of the Quran. What else does the Quran tell us? Tell me. You understand what I'm saying? So for that, we're leaving salah. Allah's love we're leaving for the dunya. We are rejecting the path of Islam for the dunya. I just want the dunya. I want to lie, do fraud, and eat haram. And we're doing all actions under the sun that are wrong. We're leaving the great things of the hereafter. We ain't got time. I don't have time for the hereafter. I'll do it from tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't tell me. I'll do it in the future. Who's making us do this? That same shaitan who made Adam alayhi salam slip up and he took him to the plant, the tree. So Allah gave tarbiyah and he showed us this as an example. Number one, shaitan never fall into his trap of his deviation. This is the lesson Allah has given to us. Otherwise you'll lose out. And never fall in the trap of your nafs, your desires. Shaitan influences and your nafs, your desires tricks you. Both of these work hand in hand. So for shaitan and nafs, Allah says, I give you the solution for both. Allah says, I give you the complete solution for both enemies. That don't love the dunya. This is temporary. Allah says it's a wrong place, the dunya, for you to live here forever. The shaitan will attract you to the love of the world, just like he gave the love attraction to Adam alayhi salam for that tree. He said it's very good. Eat this fruit. So he'll give you excuses. Nafs and shaitan. So never go towards the invitation of shaitan nafs if you are intellectual. If you are intellectual. Never go towards nafs and shaitan. And shaitan, he is prepared for you to do shirk. And he makes you do wrong. So Allah has given the solution for both shaitan and nafs. Both. So that don't give your desires, your nafs, a chance to make you slip. And don't give shaitan an opportunity that he can give you waswasa, evil whispers, and makes you trapped in doing the sin. Why? Because Allah has given us zikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Allah says, I give you my zikr. My remembrance in my name is so much barakah, so much blessings, Allah says, that shaitan melts away when you recite my name, Allah says. Shaitan melts. Literally. And he will never deviate you, he will never make you slip up. Allah says, Allah's Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us an example, a great example that just imagine the enemy is running after you to grab you and you're running away from the enemy, you're running away, you don't know where to run to, you're panicking and you see a fort, a castle, and you run into that castle and your enemy, and he will run after you, and then you'll draw up the door and you'll lock yourself in the castle. Same way is the example of shaitan. He attacks you, he runs after you. So when you do zikr of Allah, it's like the castle that you ran into. It's the protection, and shaitan will not be able to affect you. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala julubihim. Allah says in the Quran, great verse, well, Allah say, these is the signs of the ulil albab, of the people of understanding intellect, those who protect themselves all the time. They're keeping alert and fighting shaitan, because shaitan influenced Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam. So if we have belief in this verse that there's paradise and there's hoors and there'll be hisab and accounts on the day of judgment, then be careful now. Don't make your own religion up today. Don't make your own way of life up. Allah's given us the way of life. Follow that way of life. Don't make your own deen. Otherwise you're falling into the nafs. Just understand, there's shaitan. He's got full power, the devil. He'll make you trapped. He'll slip you up. And if he made Adam alayhi salam slip up in paradise, if you slip up today on earth, then do tawbah, repent. And then as long as you can fight shaitan with what? With the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That is the tool to fight shaitan. That's it, end of story. Such a very simple lesson. And to practice that, Allah gave us 30 days in Ramadan to practice this fact. That was the practice that we did, isn't it? In Ramadan. We did tawbah, we repented so much, Allah made us practice so much, that every second, every moment, Allah called out, ask me for forgiveness, ask me for forgiveness, ask me. The Holy Prophet said to this extent, that wretched is that person, he's a waste of time in Ramadan, who did not get tawbah and repentance in Ramadan. So this is not the case now that Ramadan's gone, if we didn't tawbah, then the doors are shut. No, the doors of tawbah open every second. They will never close. They will never close. Even today, tonight, if you do tawbah, then you're back again. You stood up again. So shaitan, he attacked me today. Let me do tawbah now. Inshallah, Allah will give me the complete reward of Ramadan again. Because Allah made me practice during Ramadan. So my brothers, tawbah, repentance is a great action. Don't be lazy in doing tawbah. Don't think you're free, Ramadan's gone, I can do what I want, Allah's forgiven me, I'm okay now. That forgiveness that happened, you've become a muttaqi now. You've graduated. You, me, all of us are muttaqis. On our levels, Allah's given us the reward. But you're going to spoil again. Shaitan will come again. He will attack tomorrow morning and he'll deviate you. So what do we need to do? Best solution. Best solution. When you do sleeping after, when you go to sleep, do tawbah. When you wake up, do tawbah. Do tawbah after every ibadah. When you sin, do tawbah straight away. Repent straight away. Yes, shaitan, what does he say? Yes, you sinned again. What's the point of doing tawbah now? Don't repent now. When you stop sinning, then do tawbah. You do sin again, you do tawbah again. You sin again, you do tawbah again. He makes you lose hope, shaitan. Such people I've seen who've given up life. Women, sisters, brothers. And they're very, very sort of dejected. I can't leave the sins. It's too hard for me. What shall I do? We start complaining. Allah says, fine. Okay, if you can't leave the sins, what's the reason you can't leave the sins? There's a reason that after doing sin, you don't do tawbah. That's why you can't leave the sins. So make it a habit. When you sin, do tawbah. When you sin, do tawbah. When you sin, do tawbah. That's it. And slowly your habit of sinning will go. Because the tawbah has blessings. The sins will slowly be eroded. That after doing tawbah 2 or 3 days, we leave it. Oh, I'm not going to do tawbah anymore because I keep sinning. No. Then your life's not finishing, so your tawbah shouldn't finish. Allah Ta'ala loves this from the human being. Allah loves steadfastness. Consistent. Just stick to tawbah. And think this, that I am weak, I'm a human being. Allah's created me as a human being. Definitely I will sin in life. I've just heard something good. When I leave the masjid, I'll look at a woman again. I'll see a girl again. I'll make mistakes again. Shaitan's there. But we've got a tool as well. Make a mistake, your eyes go wrong place. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Let's give him a solution. End of story. Yes, don't stop in saying astaghfirullah. And repenting, oh, I sinned, what shall I do now? I'm dirty now, I went to do Umrah, I went to do Hajj, I'm a waste of time, I'm a waste of space. Shaitan brings you down, feeling down. When a person's down, then he kicks that person, shaitan. You know, just like you get punched to the ground, then he kicks you on the floor. Just like the kids hit the football in the playground, he kicks you after that. He makes you give up, dejected. With the dejected person, just like kids play with the football in the playground, he kicks that person. So when a person loses hope in Allah, he's finished. Allah says, why do you lose hope in me? That Allah says, astaghfirullah, say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That's it, your sin will be wiped out. Yes? Why do you have to run after shaitan's invitation? Allah says, as many times as you sin, that you do tawbah, that many times I will forgive you, Allah says. That many times I'll forgive you. Allah says, you can get tired of sinning, but your Lord Allah will never get tired of forgiving you. Never. So it's sad to say we don't ask for forgiveness. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the habit, this great habit. So let's follow this path. And as I requested, that don't think Ramadan is gone. The bigger days have come now, the days of Hajj. Great days these are. The nights of Shawwal this month are very valuable. If you imagine the 30 fasts you kept in Ramadan. Here the Prophet ﷺ said, if you keep 6 fasts in this month, you get the reward of 1 year of fasting in this month. 6 days if you fast. So how much barakah is in this month, tell me. We got cooled down, Ramadan's gone, I don't need to do nothing now. It's fine, Shawwal's nothing at all. These all deeds, shaitan presents them as minor, small. But I'm telling you that this is all preparation. Rajab was preparation for Shaban. Shaban was preparation for Ramadan. And after Ramadan, Ramadan prepared us for these days of Hajj that we are in now. So this is the real matter, Hajj. That Allah shows us His home, maqam, the place where Safa Marwa, as a Hajra, where Ibrahim al-Islam left and the water of Zamzam came out of the ground. All those great pillars and signs Allah shows us and Allah gives us the reward for seeing those places, and that is called Hajj. Allah does ziyarah of those great holy places, sacred lessons that look what happened here for my sake. There was a woman as a Hajra when her husband Ibrahim al-Islam left her. She was in the wilderness. Allah ordered Ibrahim al-Islam. Did Ibrahim al-Islam see wisdom? That Allah said that take your son to the side and it was his son who was a baby at that time, his wife, a beautiful, beloved wife. And they said, where are you going? And mashallah, he put them on the camel. And when the hukam came, he said, I'm going. And his wife said, where are you going? You're leaving us. Where are you leaving us? In the wilderness. It's night time now, and you have wild animals that come out, and there's nothing here. It's just me and my child, and you're leaving us. But Allah's order, Ibrahim al-Islam couldn't reject the order of Allah. Why? Because he had belief in his Lord, in Allah, that Allah will protect. We get an order, we start thinking, oh, what's the wisdom behind this? Shall I do it or not? Oh, why should I do this? Allah's order comes on the human being, immediately implement the order. Immediately. If Fajr Salah, run to the masjid, Fajr Salah, order. Don't think it's 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m. No, run to the masjid with an open heart. 3 alarms you should set on your alarm clock. Even after that, your eyes don't open. Doesn't matter. Do tawbah. Try again. Try again. Fajr Salah. You get the thawab, the reward as well. Yes, one brother asked that, what do you do at Fajr time? Why are you late? He said, I've got 3 phones, 4 phones. All 4 phones, I set the alarm, he said. Alarm clock. And I go to sleep for Fajr. And all 4, I put them on snooze, he said. I switch them off because there's nafs in it. Desires that attacks a person at a time. And a person who's got... I said, have you got a sheikh? He said, I'm looking for a sheikh. I said, as long as you keep looking for a sheikh, you'll keep on snoozing. But when you meet the sheikh, after that, you will not need to use the alarm clock. Subhanallah. Why? Why? Because I said myself, Allah Ta'ala himself will wake you up. And experience this for yourself. You will not allow you to feel sleep. Allah. Because Allah's order has come on that person, the whole universe Allah has given the order. Wake up at this time and worship me. Allah says, wake up. Running, the birds are flying, and on the trees, the owl is howling. Everything's doing its work according to Allah's instruction. But the human being who have mind, akal, intellect, they run to salah that time, night time. Oh, I don't care about sleep, nothing. Allah's ordered, whether it's cold, hot, snow. Where's the masjid? Where's the masjid? Is there a masjid nearby? What's the route to the masjid? Where's the map? How do I get there? They get mad because they're crazy in love with Allah. Is this not the case? They forget, where am I from? I travel, I came here to earn, what country am I in? He forgets. Why? Because he's made the connection. The friend of Allah, the sheikh, has connected him to Allah. Yes, a friend of Allah, he's bumped into him, so he showed him the true path, the route. What route did he show him? The path of Allah? The path of Allah to the masjid, to Allah's home. Yes, Masjid Zakaria, Masjid Al-Falah, oh, all these paths. That's what the sheikh, he enables you, that's his job, that's his duty. To enable you, they go to this masjid, go to this masjid, and that we have no other house apart from the house of Allah. That's our home. Yes, our home is the house of Allah. I don't feel like leaving this house, the house of Allah. Yes, my Hazrat Sahib didn't leave the masjid ever. I tell you most definitely that he said, I want to stay as long as I can. When he used to go to Haram Sharif, he never left the site of the Kaaba. So brothers, the point here that we need to understand is that there should be a life sequence, isn't it? A method. Allah orders, that's it. You run to the order of Allah. Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered that his wife and child were in the desert. He left them there. They didn't even know why. And they said, what's my husband doing? Hajra said, she said, listen, are you upset with me? What's the wife? We made a mistake that your young child, you're leaving us. It's night time. Where are you going? Ibrahim alayhi salam, that you have to stay here. And she said, listen, that this is desert. What? That, did Allah order you to do this? Subhanallah, his wife asked. He said, yes, Allah ordered me. He said, Allah ordered you? Fine, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, she said. She said, take the horse, you go. Allah's ordered you to go and leave me here. Me and my son, we are now fine. Allah will cater for us. Allah is responsible for us. So those places Allah shows us Hajj time. That how my beloved lady, she was running at the mountain. Is there water here for my child? And these habits, great habits Allah demonstrated. Allah prepared Ramadan, us the goal. Just like you run there. So much thawab you'll get there, you'll forget the rewards when you go to those great signs on Hajj. Why don't we go on Hajj? Tell me. Have you got money? Have you got health? Then why you sat here? Why you sat here? Yes, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. No, this, that and the other. Do you know guarantee about your life? Go and do Hajj. That's it. The Hajj in the young life is excellent Hajj. Yes? Look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders something at that time, there's no greater worship than that action. When Allah orders something. When the order for Fajr comes, and no worship in the world is equivalent to the Fajr Salah at the time of Fajr. That's the greatest action. Remember this. The whole world can go to one side. Do this, do that. Cannot be. When Allah's order is there, existent at that frame, time frame, there's no greater worship than that at that time. Do you understand the point I'm making? Do you understand the point? For this reason, the friends of Allah, never at the time of Fajr do they move until they don't do Dhikr of Allah after Fajr. They say there's no greater worship than this that Allah wants from His servant. Fajr time, soon as Fajr ends, immediately go into my Dhikr, Allah says. Immediately. In other words, all 40, 50 years I saw my Shaykh. Not one day did I see in the life of my Shaykh day, neither he stopped doing Dhikr of Allah. Never. It's Allah's order. Allah's order. Shaitan desires to say, do this, no, that's better, that's more important. Right now, what is the order of Allah? What is the order of Allah? What to do? The order of Allah is do this action. Yes, so whatever order Allah gives in any time frame, what we need to see, the people of wisdom, is that Allah's order for me right now is what? So if Allah's ordering go to sleep, then it's the best ibadah at that time is to sleep. There's no greater ibadah than that if you have to sleep at that time. If it's order to eat, there's no greater ibadah than that at that time to eat. If it's the time to eat. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala says so much tawab at iftar time. Isn't it iftar time, breaking fast? One date, one water give to somebody, how much reward you get? Why? Because Allah's ordered, that's the time to eat. End of story. So at this time, if you drink water and you eat that date, the reward of that, a person cannot imagine. Because he's doing the right action at the right time, because Allah's ordered. So what we need to see in life is Allah's ordering this, or is the human being ordering this action? Allah's ordering this. لَقَدْ كَانَ Allah says in the Quran, that this person I sent to you, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imitate him because he is most beloved to me. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنًا. Allah says, I've made him the complete comprehensive example for mankind. The whole world will come, just like shaitan tricked. And these were old things. The world will say to you, it's old times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's way. You don't need to, they used to keep beards for other reasons. You don't need to keep the beard now. Look here now. You know the media around us. Many intellectuals will sit on the media and influence you. Oh, you know, you read so much Quran. Why don't you keep the beard? You ask the scholar. Oh, the scholar says, oh, people have made a mistake. People don't understand. They don't understand the Quran. Show me, is there any verse of the Quran where it says that you have to keep the beard? The scholar says today on social media. Yeah, tell me. Yeah. Then he says, oh, the beard was for that time. And look, if you look at the followers, I think half the world is following such a person on social media because shaitan makes you go after them. And what did he say to Adam alayhi salam, shaitan? That this tree, that's old verse of Allah. At that time your digestive system wasn't good, strong, you couldn't eat it. That's why Allah said that to you then, but now you can digest it, so eat the fruits of shaitan. Do you understand his trick? Yeah, his same trick today. Oh, at that time there were no shaving blades, so they used to keep beards then. There were no shaving kits, and in Jannah we will be like this clean shaven. So let's do it now, but if you need to keep it, just keep it trimmed so people from far can see that you got a little bit of a beard. Such stupid excuses, don't ever fall into the trap. Just understand, Allah's ordered that my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you must follow him, Allah says. That's what you need to do. Imitate him. And to imitate him, Allah said, I created 124,000. More than that, Sahaba, you will see, they followed him exactly. Even then, if you don't follow your Prophet, then is there a more stupid person than that? Is there anyone more foolish than that? Yes. So, understand that when you fall into that trap, the shaitan and nafs have caught me. So, brothers, Ramadan taught us these things. I'm just reminding you. I'm reminding myself rather. So, let's do these actions. Nafs and shaitan, we must fight them. Tawbah, repent them, make that your system in life. And whenever Allah's order comes in your life, then grab that order of Allah. That's it. Never leave Allah's order. Never. Doesn't matter what happens. That's it. This is the deen. Allah's ordered me to do this, I have to do this. That's it. And that's clear what Allah's told us. Where is it clear? The Holy Prophet ﷺ in his life made it clear what we need to do. He was careful, what he left, what he said was prohibited, what time did he go to his wives, what did he do, what did he not do. Everything he's taught us, and we should keep on doing that slowly, slowly in life. Keep on doing that. And then, what did the Prophet ﷺ do in the morning? What time did he wake up? When did he used to eat? When did he used to go to sleep? When did he used to walk? When did he used to go work? How did he run the business? Don't put your leg in it. Oh, do this. Oh, rest. And then don't rest when you want. Rest at the time when the Prophet ﷺ used to rest. Yes, when I initiated my life, then I started my life like this. When my life turned, when I became a Muslim, yes, at the hands of my Sheikh Hazrat Sahib, that's how I started my life. That any action, any field of my life, then it wasn't the way the Prophet, I used to sleep like the Prophet, wake up like the Prophet. I said, this is the life pattern now from now on. I made a determination. And the barakah, the blessings, you can't imagine when they come. And so easy every action becomes for the human being. So easy that you cannot imagine when you follow the Prophet ﷺ. Everything becomes easy. Anyway, let's recite Durood Sharif and then we'll do some dhikr of Allah.
اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وآل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطفنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم سمتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان وبشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبدنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وهشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا جوفي المراد اشفع مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الآية من برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.